chapter 1, 17 through 21. 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 through 21. A letter of hope. A word to live by. Redeemed. 1 Peter chapter 1, 17 through 21. My prayer today is everyone here has received into your life Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior, that you are redeemed. I pray at invitation time, if there's anyone here today that does not know Christ, that you will step out and come to Jesus today. Before our message, let's look to God in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, that we have hope in you. We ask today, Lord, that this might be the day of salvation for someone in attendance this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And expressing his personal appreciation for the blood that Christ shed for him at Calvary, the scripture writer Simon Peter wrote these words in 1 Peter 1 and verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, which from your futile or aimless and worthless conduct or works you received by tradition from your forefathers. But in contrast, you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And he indeed, Jesus, was foreordained before the foundation of the world, both manifest in these last times for you, who through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Your aimless, worthless conduct, your futile conversation, your behavior pattern that's based on performance-based works, that system of religion in which many people are involved, Simon Peter says, it has zero eternal value. It will make you feel good. You can break your arm patting yourself on the back, but none of that will ever, ever get you into heaven. The only way to go to heaven is asking Jesus into your life as personal Savior. Amen. It's receiving Christ into your life. It's saying, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Christ is my Savior. I ask you in today as my personal Savior. Now, the Apostle Peter mentions two great words of salvation. Faith, that enables us to trust in God's offer of His grace. And hope is helps us believe that what God promises, He performs. Faith results in the redemption of our soul. Hope is God's guarantee that our body will also be redeemed. When God does something, He does it completely. It is thorough redemption through Christ in His blood. I am thankful. I am redeemed. How about you?
Amen.
Amen. Beth and I like to travel. And in the good old days, we would travel greatly. And often we'd go to Washington, D.C. And in Washington, D.C., we'd go to all the wonderful sites, but the one we had to go see was the Vietnam Memorial. How many have been to the Vietnam Memorial? Anybody? You know, at the Vietnam Memorial, you have an opportunity to take a piece of paper, and you can what? You can actually rub off with a paper and a pencil, you can rub off the name of someone you might know that's on that memorial. 58,000 military personnel perished in the Vietnam War. We need to remember them, don't we?
Right.
Well, there's one that I remember. His name is Forsall Mutt Stevens. He was one of my dad's football players. My dad was football coach near Akron, Ohio. And every week after the game, the following week, he'd have the guys in, and they'd go down to my basement. My dad would have an athlete's Bible study. We had an athlete's Bible study in Buffalo, New York also, and we led 22 to Christ in our living room and 82 to Christ in our gym program and another 41 to Christ, 43 to Christ in a pep rally. And 10% of the local high school came to Christ that one year. 220 students, not counting the athletes. Athletes' Bible studies were very important in our growing up years and in our ministry years. And one of the names that stands out from a Bible study my dad had was Mutt. Forsall Stevens. He was one of 17 children. Now, if you grew up on a farm, you know that it's the children that end up taking care of the land and bringing in the crops. And so a farmer would have many children. 17 children. No wonder they called him Mutt. Maybe they ran out of names for their kids. Well, Forrestal Mutt Stevens would come and sit in the basement and enjoy the sandwiches and the potato chips, enjoy the desserts, and watch film of the last week's game. And then my dad would close with a gospel presentation, and he would always share the gospel. That was my dad, evangelistic, given to outreach, just desiring to lead kids to Christ. His next school, he had 14 from his athletes' Bible study that met every Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. 230 or 240 athletes and 14 went into full-time service. Dad gave the gospel. We're giving the gospel today. And one of those nights when he gave the gospel, Mutt Forrestal Stevens prayed to receive Christ into his life as personal Savior. And I'm so glad he did. Because later, Forrestal Stevens volunteered to go to Vietnam. He didn't wait for the draft or anything like that. He volunteered. He wanted to serve his country. And while Forrestal Stevens was in Vietnam, he became a Green Beret. And as a Green Beret, he was one of those elite soldiers. And he was out on patrol one day, and the Viet Cong ambushed his unit, and they took Mutt Stevens back to the United States in a body bag. And they buried him. There was sadness all around. But my dad knew at his funeral that Mutt had received Christ as Savior. So there was a time of celebration in heart. He knew Jesus as his personal Savior. Today, his name is inscribed on the Vietnam Memorial in Washington, D.C. But his name is also inscribed in that Revelation chapter 20 and verse 15, and chapter 21 and verse 27, Lamb's Book of Life. And I pray today that everyone here has your name inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life. I remember in Buffalo when we had our athletes' Bible studies. We had the starting quarterback, and matter of fact, he was a captain. We had the other three captains in the living room, and I gave a presentation on the Lamb's Book of Life that night. It was a Thursday night. We would have open gym, and then after the open gym, we'd all gather at my house, and I'd share the gospel. And the three guys that were seated there, and I remember Mark seated over here, and I said, "Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life?" And he said, "No, it's not." I said, "You want it in there?" And he said, "Yes, I do." And he asked Jesus in his life as Savior. Now, I've kind of lost track of him from the years in the past, but I know that if you're not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're not going to heaven. You need to know Christ as Savior, and you need to know Him today. You see, Peter wrote a book of hope, and you only have hope if you know Christ. Now, the Bible's filled with words to live by, and they're words such as hope and love and grace, and they're wonderful words, but I think one of the greatest words that we have is redemption. For you to go to heaven, you have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and that Lamb is Jesus. You must repent. You must receive Him into your life as Savior. Now, Simon Peter in verse 18 is going to describe two ways. One's the way of man and leads to death, and the other is the way of God and it leads to life. There are many ways you can travel to hell. We used to live in New Jersey, and one of our ladies was the secretary at Friends of Israel. I don't know how many of you get that wonderful magazine, but Friends of Israel magazine. And this is one of the portraits that they produced, and I have it hanging in my office at home. So every day when I go and type up a message, I see the cross. I see people, the vast majority, going the wrong way down to hell. And I see a handful just taking the right way, the way of the cross, the way to heaven. There are many wrong ways that people try to get to heaven. And Peter would say, you are not redeemed with corruptible things or possessions that will perish. And the word perish in Scripture is used in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, means go to hell. If you want to go to hell, get involved in a performance-based, work-centered, man-oriented system of religion. You don't go to heaven with religion. You go to heaven with a relationship. You don't go to heaven by works or good deeds. You go to heaven by the finished work of Christ on the cross. Hey, things that perish are things that are corruptible. They're going to burn in the lake of fire. They're things that do not last. You can go and say Hail Mary all you want. You can wrestle beads all you want. You can go and observe sacraments all you want. You can pray toward Mecca all you want. You can hand out turkeys at Thanksgiving, and that's a great thing. But give the gospel. You can do that all you want. You can give the United Way all you want. But if you're not in right relationship with Jesus, if you've never asked him into your life, it's just corruptible. It's going to rust. It's going to pass away. And it's temporary. God paved heaven. The streets of gold. He paved it with gold. One of the most precious commodities we have. And people have killed each other to get some gold. They've jumped off buildings in 1929 in the Depression because of gold and a lack thereof. The streets are of gold. The walls are of diamonds and jasper and pearl. God doesn't need our possessions or our gold. He wants us to tithe, and that's great. But the blood of Christ is much more precious than gold. Amen. And it's only the blood that's sufficient to get our souls to heaven. We're not redeemed by the conduct of our works. Peter said in 1 Peter 1, verse 18, "For as much as you know, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, from your vain conduct, received by tradition from your fathers." There are many people who just try to be good and moral in their own eyes, but morality will not get your soul to heaven. It's not a lifestyle. It's the life given by Jesus. Amen. It's the blood that was shed on the cross. It's the power of the resurrection. All of us have inherited opinions from our parents, passed down from our ancestors. All of us have been raised in a culture. But God said you need the culture of Jesus Christ. You need to have Him in your life for you to go to heaven and have your sins forgiven. You can go to church and not be a Christian. You can know the Bible and not be a Christian. You can pray prayers and not be a Christian. But if you don't have Jesus in your life, you're not going to heaven. You need Jesus to be a Christian. Amen. You need to be possessed by the Savior Jesus. God said in Matthew 16, 26, "What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his own soul?" If works don't work, what does? Well, Simon Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 19, there's a right way to get to heaven. And that's the blood of Jesus Christ. It's redemption through Christ's blood. He said, "But in contrast, you are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." In this passage, Peter tells us what's needed for us to be saved. We need a Savior without spot and without blemish. You know, in the sight of the Lord, there have been many people who have come and gone and have said, "Hey, follow me. Follow me. Follow my opinion. Follow my philosophy. Follow my religion." I mean, there are people that bow five times on a mat in the streets of New York City, thinking that their human leader is going to get them to heaven. I mean, there are people that worship Buddha, and there are people that are Hindus, and there are people in all these religions and systems of faith. But not one leader compares to the perfect, sinless Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Who came and fulfilled the law of righteousness. The only one who is perfect. The only one who is man and God. Man to die for us on the cross. God to save our souls. Amen. No other leader has those characteristics and qualifications. He is the one that is needed for us to be saved. In Old Testament times, they brought sheep and lamb and goats, and many were the worst of the flock, but some would obey God, and they'd bring the best of the flock without spot and without blemish. It was a sacrifice for them. And they looked forward to the cross. But God said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 and 10, that this sacrifice was a shadow of the sacrifice that Christ would give on Calvary. There's only one perfect sacrifice, yes. One perfect person. He did not sin. He could not sin. If he had sin in his life or could sin, then he could not be a sacrifice for sinners. He had to be perfect. He is sinless today in heaven. He is perfect today in heaven. He can give you salvation. Ask him in your life as Savior. Well, since it's God who provides redemption, Peter says, here is a means or method that God chose to provide redemption. It was the blood shed by Jesus. We are not redeemed with perishable things, such as silver or gold, but we are redeemed through the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
What do you have that's precious that you just never, ever want to lose? It could be a person. It could be a possession. What's more precious than any of those is Jesus.
Amen.
The word precious was used elsewhere in Scripture. Matthew 15:4, it was used of highly honored parents. How many of you have children that actually came up to you and said, "Mom and Dad, I love you. You're precious. You're the most precious thing in my life." Anyone ever have that experience? Yeah, you wish, right? Yeah. You know, Matthew 15 and verse 4 says that, you know, before they ask you for the car keys, Mom and Dad, maybe they ought to appreciate you just a little bit, don't you think? Precious. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3, it's used of respected widows. As we look around and we have Triple L at this church and senior saints, our widows need to be respected and honored. We need to treat them as precious. 1 Timothy 5:19, it's used of highly regarded Christians. Treat leaders in the church as precious. In 1 Peter 2:17, it's used of important government leaders, and we may not like their politics, but they're precious in the sight of the Lord. 1 Peter 1:19, it's used of the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, more precious than parents, and more precious than people, and more precious than leaders, and more precious than government is Jesus Christ. He is God's uniquely begotten Son. His blood is precious. And why is it precious? Deuteronomy 12:13, and more importantly, Luke 17:11. Life is in the blood. No one can live physically without blood. And no one can live spiritually without the shed blood of Jesus. Someone said that if we were the only person in the world, Christ would have died for us. Praise the Lord that He died for all of us. And that all of us have an opportunity to respond to that sacrifice. Surrender ourselves to Him. Repent, receive, and ask Him into our life as Savior. The term is used in Hebrews 9:22. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. 96% of Americans will need a blood product from the Red Cross at one time or another in our lives. And some give blood to save one other person's life. But 100% of us need the blood of Christ at Calvary.
Amen.
100% of us need to know that without applying the blood of Christ to the doorpost of our hearts, we are lost forever. We need the blood product that Christ shed at the cross. We need to apply it to our lives. That's a word that can change your life. It's redemption. So let's look at this word redemption, and we've been through this before on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. We're going to make sure that everyone hears this on a Sunday morning. Let's look at the term redeemed. See, the term redeemed is used in three different ways, and you can turn to these passages if you'd like. It basically means to buy. 1 Corinthians 6:20. Three terms for the word redeemed. The first term, redeemed. 1 Corinthians 6:20. It's the Greek word agora. A-G-O-R-A. Speaks of the marketplace. Acts 17:17. Paul entered Athens and he started to preach. And he went to where the people were. And we can go out in a field and start talking to cows, but that's not going to help them, right? We need to go where the people are. We need to share Jesus. And so Paul went to the marketplace. He went to the agora. And he did some business for God. Matthew 21:12. It's used of a place where you buy and sell. The word agora, 1 Corinthians 6:20, you are bought or redeemed with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. We owe Him something. Our actions and in our spirit, our attitude and thought life, which are God's, our conscience and conduct both belong to God. Interesting that even our thoughts are owned by God. And we say those thoughts are private, aren't they? No, they're not. They're owned by God. Have you ever been to a store to buy something? Anybody? No one here has ever been to a store to buy anything. All right? Did it cost you something when you bought it? Unless you're a shoplifter, yes, right? Yeah. It cost you something. Whatever was marked as the price tag, the value, that's what it cost you. What did it cost God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit? to buy or purchase your salvation? Well, it cost you probably $3 to buy something at McDonald's, right? It cost God everything he had to purchase your soul. That's a tremendous sacrifice. You see, the Father gave up heaven for you. Part of the package of our salvation is the fact that what? We have heaven as our inheritance.
Amen.
That's what belonged to Jesus. Now it's going to belong to us. The Father gave up heaven. The Son gave up his life. And the Holy Spirit gives up his freedom, doesn't he? He indwells our lives. He lives in us. That must be fun, don't you think? To indwell the life of a sinner? How much more fun can you ever have, right? How many times have we made the Holy Spirit miserable by what we think and by what we do? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all involved in redemption. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. And now you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. It cost God everything he had. What does it cost us to live for Jesus? If salvation could be obtained through wealth or works, then why did Jesus come? Christ came to purchase our salvation.
Thank you.
One could die for another, but it takes God to die for all. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, all day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt I could never pay. The term redemption, write it down, it means to buy. Second time a term is translated redeemed. A second Greek word, Galatians 3 and verse 13. The term redeemed is a Greek term similar in spelling to our English word exaggerate. It's a term that means to buy out or to purchase out completely. To completely buy it out. A man who knew something about the blessings of salvation and redemption wrote these words. Paul, Galatians 3, 13. Paul wrote, Christ has redeemed us. He has completely bought out the consequences of sin. He has bought it out completely. We are redeemed from the curse of the law, the consequence of sin. Name a religion that can do that. There are religions that have cathedrals plated in gold. Why, you go over to Jerusalem and you have the Muslim mosque and you look up and it's ornate and there's gold. And people can't even go in there today. Covered with gold. The Vatican, gold. South America, people are poor. All over the world, there's gold. But that gold cannot redeem anyone. You look at it, you admire it, it's impressive, but it cannot redeem. Only Jesus can.
Amen. Thank you.
And he redeemed us completely.
You
ever lived through a weather catastrophe like a flood or a windstorm? Anybody? Anyone? We were in Florida. Yeah, I think we had 7 hurricanes in Florida. We had all these tornadoes too. The tornadoes are the most vicious storm I can imagine. And hurricanes have tornadoes too. But hurricanes, you get a little warning. And so what you do is, about 7 days before it hits, they tell you, hey, the hurricane's on the way. And they get all these little lines and they intersect your property. And, oh, this one's going to miss me. Oh, this one might hit me. And 3 days prior to the hurricane coming, they basically know where it's going to hit. So you've got Katrina. And you've got Wilma. So Katrina, the eye goes over my house. Wilma, a more severe storm in Florida, the eye goes over my house. Wiped out my whole backyard at 7:48 a.m. Guess what we did 2 or 3 days prior to the hurricane? We went to the store. Well, we had a school at our church, Christian school, so I had practice after school for sports teams. So we got to the store a little later than everyone else. By the time we got to the store, guess what? All the shelves were completely bought out. I mean, they had milk gone and the eggs were gone, and down there the black beans and rice were all gone, right? Yeah. Well, by that time we knew ahead of time we're going to go and buy them out early. So you buy out the bottled water and you buy this and you buy that, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, we bought ice cream and we'd buy steak. And we turn our freezer down as low as it could go so that everything was rock hard frozen by the time the storm would hit. We take our gas grill, we bring it into our family room, and of course we put those metal shutters up. Kind of fun to put them up, right? You're like in a tin can. I'd leave a little peek hole so I could see out, so I could see my backyard get blown up in a storm. Well, we were prepared. Everyone else had their milk and their eggs. Well, the storm would go by in about 8 hours, right? And everything had been bought out, even the gasoline. Of course, we'd have 15 or 20 gallons of gasoline we bought and put it in cans. Some of you experienced that in some of the places you've lived. And here we go. Next day, I look across the canal and there people are watching TV on their generator. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, maybe your air conditioner needs a little bit of work there. Or this one over here would say, we don't have any food. What are we going to do for food? And we'd say, why don't you come on over? Because we're eating frozen chicken that's thawed, and we're eating frozen steak that's thawed, and we're even eating ice cream. That's our main meal. Want some? And they'd all come in. Because everything had been bought out. Before the storm, after the storm, you have no chance. Hey, once Jesus comes in the rapture, that's it for everybody, right? No chance. You might as well get ready now. You might as well get ready for the storm ahead of time. And the only way to get ready spiritually is to ask Jesus in your life as personal Savior. There's a storm coming, but we have a Savior. What did Jesus do at Calvary? He bought out sin. Bought out the consequences. And he's not going to restock. He's going to be the one that provides your needs. America's fought many wars in the early 1990s. The Gulf War, remember that? It was a war with Iraq, and somehow we're friends now with everyone over there. I don't know how. American hostages and other detainees were living in Iraq, and they said to the women of the American expats, and they said, look, we're going to let you go. We're going to let you go home and come to the airport. We're going to fly you home. And so all the wives would come, and the women would come, and they'd be at the airport, and they'd say to the ladies, they said, now, here's the bargain. Here's the deal. If we let you out of the country, then your husbands are going to be human shields at our military bases, at our other facilities, and they're going to give their lives for you. Mm-hmm. Boy, if you were one of those women, how many of you would take that opportunity to go home if you knew your husband was going to give his life for you? One man for one woman. One God for all. Our human shield today, his name is Jesus. And he's going to stand between us and the consequences of sin, which is going to be death and hell. And because of Jesus, we have freedom. We are redeemed. We get to go to heaven. We get to go home. Amen. And Jesus takes our punishment for us. Amen. Praise God for redemption through Jesus. Amen. Word number three, the last Greek word. Ephesians 1 verse 7. The term redeemed is used of buying something permanently, of setting something free permanently by paying the price of a ransom to never return it back again. You ever buy something and you use it once or twice and then you send it back to the store? Remember that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. That started in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And it just expanded across the country. Once saved, always saved. See, once you ask Jesus in your life, he will never leave you nor forsake you.
Thank you.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is your salvation.
Amen.
There's not one thing you can do to lose genuine salvation in your life.
Thank you.
God has redeemed you. And we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
Once set free, you're not in bondage again.
Hallelujah.
So what did Jesus do? Let's summarize this. Here's redemption. Systems of religion cannot do this for you.
Yes.
Systems of faith cannot do this for you. You need a relationship. He bought us, 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20. He bought out the consequences of sin completely, Galatians 3:13, and he set us free permanently to never return us again, Ephesians 1, 6 and 7. We have a thorough God.
Yes.
We have a great salvation.
Yes.
But to have that salvation, you must what? Respond. Receive. You must take him into your life as your personal Lord and Savior.
Amen.
And if you haven't ever done that, then you're not saved. And if you think, maybe I have, but maybe I haven't, make sure today. Why risk eternity? But I'm a proud person. Just humble yourself for 10 seconds. And say, oh God, I know I'm a sinner. If I've never done this before, I want to do it today. I want to ask Jesus in my life as Savior. He bought it out completely. Amen.
Amen.
No one else can provide it. Only Jesus. One of my wife's brothers is a man named Phil. And I've told a story before. I'm going to tell it again. During the war in Vietnam, Phil was a first lieutenant, became a captain, was leading his unit on patrol. And I wonder if he ever met Mutt, Forrestal Stevens. In the middle of the jungle while on patrol, Phil Hayden, his unit, was ambushed. One man was on point. He got shot. Phil sent another man out to see if he was all right. He got shot. Phil sent the medic out, and he got shot. Finally, Phil said, I'm going out. Members of his platoon said, no, you're not going out. You're our leader. He said, I'm going out, and Phil went out. Lieutenant Phil Hayden got shot. It was a firefight. He was losing blood. He was still conscious, and his body was laying there next to the medic's body. The medic was still alive, and Phil looked at the medic, and he said, this could be it for us. He said, you know, Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. The medic looked at Phil and said, yes, I do. And Phil said, then we're going through the pearly gates together. Both of them went unconscious. Viet Cong retreated. Phil woke up later to the sound of a medevac rescue helicopter hovering overhead. American chopper sent out to danger to rescue those who had fallen in the field. And the chopper had already picked up a number of men. And unfortunately for Phil, there's only room for three. And Phil looked at the pilot, and the pilot said, we're taking you. You're the ranking officer. And Phil said, no, you're not. I'm staying here. Only room for three, so they took the other three that night. Pitch darkness. And Phil remained behind. During the night, some Viet Cong soldiers came. And they were shooting some of the bodies, making sure they were dead. And Phil had captured a Viet Cong revolver. They shot those that had come to shoot him. Later during that night, another chopper arrived and gathered Phil Hayden's body and ended up in a Tokyo hospital where eventually he recovered. And he went on to become one of the three directors of our anti-terrorist squads working out of Quantico, Virginia. One of three leading the charge. On the night that Phil Hayden was left laying in the field, his platoon members wondered, was this the last we'll ever see of Phil Hayden? That night, the company chaplain called a meeting. And that night, he shared the testimony of salvation of Phil Hayden. And that night, 23 of the 28 men remaining in his company prayed to receive Jesus Christ in their life as personal Savior. Several weeks later, with Phil Hayden still in Tokyo, Japan, recovering from his wounds, his company was sent out to take and hold a hill somewhere in Vietnam that today probably no one even remembers where it is or probably couldn't find it. And that night his company was wiped out. Today, if you go to Washington, D.C., you'll find the names of those men that served with Lieutenant Phil Hayden inscribed on the Vietnam Memorial. But more importantly, when we get to heaven, we're going to find their names inscribed in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Amen.
Because they asked Jesus in their life as personal Savior. The world's biggest gambler is the one who gambles with his soul. And you're going to lose unless you ask Christ in your life as Savior. It's not your church denomination. It's not your morality. It's not your system of religion. It's a relationship that matters. If you've never asked Jesus in your life as Savior, you need to do it now.
Amen.
You need to do it today. Because redemption comes only through the blood of Christ. Jesus died for you.
Amen.
Respond in a personal way.
Amen.
And ask Him in today. Let's close now in prayer. Our Father in heaven,
thank you.
It's a moving story. The story of Christ at Calvary. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm wondering today, is there someone here who's maybe trusting in something else? Maybe a church, a denomination, maybe it's morality, maybe it's just, I'm an American, maybe it's just that you're here today, or I'm a good person. No one's as good as Jesus. No one can make the sacrifice for all that Jesus made. And God clearly said, there's only redemption one way, through His blood. Ask Jesus into your life today. If you've never done that, if you're not sure, why not slip up your hand right now and say, I want to make sure, I want to ask Jesus into my life as Savior. Are there any? Slip up your hand. Are there any? Slip up your hand today. Slip up your hand today. I'm going to ask this question. If you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you've asked Jesus in your life as Savior, slip up your hand. You know beyond a shadow of a doubt. You've asked Him in. Slip up your hand. Our Father in heaven, we pray for those today who don't know Jesus. If we're not willing to admit it before others, will you admit it when we stand before you one day? Our Father in heaven, we pray for each one here that each knows Christ, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.